Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a couple of announcements to go over this morning. On November the 25th, Agape will be decorating the church for Christmas. Going to start on the 27th. That's tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow night. December the 1st, Christmas play practice will be at 4 o'clock. We'll also have a supper and be doing Advent wreaths after that. I believe we have all three of the Advent meals have been covered, so we're good on the Advent services. Order forms for the poinsettias are in the narthex. Need the last day to make that order will be on December the 1st. Time and talent sheets are in the narthex. We have the flower sign-ups for the Sunday flowers is down at the bottom of the ramp. How long are those going to stay out, Latifah? Till we get them full? Good deal. Also, results of the silent auction are hanging on the board on the left right at the mailboxes. If you bidded on an object, you can go look at that and see if you won the bid. All monies and checks, I say, go to the scholarship fund. Joe Davis. I have one thank you card here. It says, Dear Holly Grove Meals Committee, thank you for providing the wonderful meal for our family after Lydia's funeral. Your meal, prayers, and kindness are greatly appreciated from the York family. Miss Tony. Lutheran Men in Mission, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
In the narthex, there is a copy of a reverse Advent calendar. If anyone would be interested in doing that, we are going to try this for this year. It's items that you purchase and put in the box for each day of Advent. And if then, after you collect all your items, if you'll bring the box to the church, we will get them to the pastor's pantry. Thank you.
Results from last week's congregation meeting. The four going on, we have four going off of the council and four going on. The four going on will be Sherry Proctor, Johnny Fritz, Chip Blower, Marie Palmer, and Miss Lindsay Black will be taking over Caroline's spot for the remainder of her term, which is 1 year. And the budget approval was 56-4 and 3 against. That's all I've got. Is there any more announcements from the congregation? Prayer shawls. Miss Kim. Thank you.
These three prayer shawls are for my mother, Peggy Blower. She's 96. She's living with my sister. She's not particularly ill, but she's getting very frail and needs a lot of assistance. And the other two are for my sister and her husband, taking so good care of my mother. Thank you.
And this one is for Kathy Conrad. She has been in the hospital this past week. Is she still in the hospital? She's home, but she needs our prayers.
One more announcement. The angel tree has been set up. It looks like already there have been a lot taken off. Once those are gone, there will be some more put up that will be the high school has asked for some help on certain items. So once the angel tree gets done, then we'll add the other stuff, high school. Thank you.
The handbells will now do the prelude. And Pastor Talent, thank you for being with us again today.
Thank you. I invite those who are able to stand as we join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I want to invite the children to come up.
Now, since this is my first Sunday to do this, I'll ask you, where am I supposed to stand?
Right there.
Right there. Okay. Well, that's what I thought, but I thought I'd check. Oh, that's okay. Thanks. So what's special about this week?
I'm a new pastor.
Well, yeah, you're having a different pastor today, but what else is special? Thanksgiving week, yes. Do you get out of school for that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have plans for the day? Are you going to eat something?
A lot.
A lot. Okay. Well, being thankful is important. And Jesus talks to us a lot about being thankful and that we need to be thankful to God and thankful to other people. And he also talks to us about other things. And one of the things I thought today, I have something in the box. What's in the box?
Candy.
Right, really bad stuff. Right? To get you ready for Thanksgiving later. Okay, how about everybody take one? But you cannot eat it till after the service.
No.
Oh, I know. Okay, there's several different kinds. If you don't like nuts, be sure you don't take a nutty one. Okay. I'm going to take one. Okay. Now, what did I say? You can't eat until after the service. So that's just terrible, right? Makes just tempt you with the smell and everything, then you can't do anything with it. So why don't you take another one? That'll make it twice as hard. I think they'll probably get on to me for this, not you. Okay. You're welcome. Now, you know, there's some left in here, so why don't you take another one? Yeah, well, it used to be Halloween, but not anymore. Okay, well, not exactly. I'll tell you why when you finish getting this, okay? Okay, now this one you have to give away. You can't put it in your... Yeah! You got to share it. Go out and find somebody in your family that you can share it with. Then come back up front after you share it. Somebody went all the way to the back to share. Okay. Very good. I'm rolling downhill here. Okay. So the thing about Thanksgiving is we have lots to give thanks for, right? And most of us live in nice homes and we have enough to eat and enough clothes to wear. There are a lot of people who don't. So one of the things we remember at Thanksgiving is that we give thanks to God for all that we have, for the people we love and the people we care about, but we also remember that there are other people who maybe have a harder time. And from what I've seen, your congregation is very aware of that. It seems to me like you try to do lots of things for other people, and that's what Jesus wants us to do, is share with other people. Now, before you go back to your seat, I want you to take one more, and I want you to, not for you, no. You have plenty. Take one more and share it with someone you don't know very well, okay? Somebody you don't know so much. And you'll take that, and then I think you have children's church afterwards, is that correct?
Yeah, I've got
it. Okay, so once you take that and give it to somebody you don't know so well, then you can go back to children's church, okay? But before you go, let's pray, okay? Dear Jesus, we thank you for all we have. We thank you for those people who are here today and for these children and their parents. We thank you for this congregation and for all that they do to share your love, not just in words, but in deeds with those who are in need. Help us to remember on this Thanksgiving Day how much you love us, and help us to share with those who don't know your love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Thank you very much for coming up. And remember, you've got to take one to somebody you don't know, or at least you don't know very well. I know that you probably know everybody here a little bit, but find somebody you don't know so well. Goes for you folks too.
The first reading for today, Christ the King Sunday, comes from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away. And you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed. Nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore will you not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of this city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes war cease to the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted among the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The second reading comes from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged with him kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Christ the King Sunday concludes the year of reading Luke in the Gospel. It's a final testimony about Jesus as God's way of ruling in the world and in the world to come. These titles for Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, King, are used so much they don't perhaps have a lot of impact, but they're very important terms. Jesus' crucifixion is a long way from thinking about being a king or Messiah or Son of God. His crucifixion was not between two candles on an altar. It's between two thieves on a mountaintop that looked like a skull. Was a death that was painful and slow. Not just a sentence of death, but a shaming. The power of this comes in that it's Jesus' completion of his journey to Jerusalem. In Luke, he predicts his passion three times, and it emphasizes his intensity that he continues toward Jerusalem. His presence also, though, reveals the rejection of Jesus and his mission by those in power. The disagreement between the criminals may be perhaps the most revealing part of the story. Following the direction of Jerusalem's leaders, one of the criminals ridicules Jesus. Save yourself and us. Selfish, probably as his life was. Don't just save yourself, save us as well. Wanting to use Jesus' identity as a Messiah for his personal health and well-being. But in Luke, we also hear from the second criminal a very different response. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Not like us. We're being punished because we committed a crime. And we're receiving the sentence for that crime. But this man did nothing wrong. And the thing is, that echoes the words of Pilate. It says, Pilate found in him no ground for the sentence of death. Herod also would agree that he had done nothing that deserves death. And Jesus dies. In fact, the centurion will say, certainly this man was innocent. And the second thief says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responds, today you will be with me in paradise. He asks for nothing. He doesn't ask to be set free. He simply asks that Jesus remember him. It was an important part of their culture, in their world. To be remembered is a terrible thing, to be forgotten. And I dare say most of us would prefer not to be forgotten by people who matter to us. And this man says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Whatever the kingdom is, remember me. The crucifixion in this world was a performance. It was like a play. It said to the people, Rome has all the power. Rome controls everything. And acted out like a play. It's very public. They want everyone to come out and see it. And crowds come, those who ridicule Jesus and condemn him, those in authority who colluded with the Romans to do this. They're there, mocking and waiting to see this Roman organized play work itself out, and this man, and they and the Romans condemned, die. Jesus is associated here with criminals. One of the striking things about Luke's story is he doesn't talk a lot about the blood and gore, and we often associate that especially with the crucifixion. There have been movies about it. There are various books that have talked about that. It was a terrible, horrible way to die. But Luke doesn't emphasize that part. He does lift up the humiliation that Rome sought to impose on its enemies. Embarrassment. And Jesus, surrounded by those who knew him, is in the midst of that. And yet Jesus was innocent, said the criminal. He had done nothing deserving of death, said Pilate, and even Herod. But nevertheless, he would die. What does that sort of event say to us in the world we live in? What does it say about our own prison system? What does it say about how we deal with problems in society? Recently, you may be surprised to know that Kanye and Kim Kardashian West were in the news. That is, if you know who they are. And some of you laugh because they are in the news all the time. But they were in the news for something different. And this is what caught my attention. I certainly don't follow them. I know almost nothing about the Kardashians except their name and that they got a lot of fame by going on Facebook and Instagram and so on. But they were both in the news for significant things because they're both seeking prison reform, and they met with President Trump despite lots of criticisms from those in the entertainment community. Last week, he was in the news because he went to a jail in, I think, Texas or somewhere in the Southwest and sang Christian music to them. And then the sheriff got a letter from a group of atheists who were condemning the sheriff for allowing this man to come sing Christian songs to a captive audience. The sheriff rejected their criticism. Back in October, though, Kim Kardashian was in the news in getting someone released from prison after 23 years. According to an article in the New York Post, the man, Mamoru Stewart, was convicted in 1999 at the age of 16, sentenced as an adult. He would say, "I was buried alive, so now I've been resurrected." Stewart's release came 2 months after Kardashian wrote a letter pleading for his release. In the letter, she said this, "Stewart is especially deserving of your consideration. He has been rehabilitated and is no longer dangerous to society. While he cannot go back and change what happened when he was 16 years old, he takes responsibility for the pain he has caused to the victim's family and feels true remorse for his role in the crime that resulted in the loss of life." She talked about him having a traumatic childhood when his mother murdered his college professor father when he was 6 years old. Raised without an adult male in the picture, he turned to the streets and his life went down. While in jail, though, he earned a GED and took classes through the Georgetown Prison Scholars Program. And she would write in the letter, "I have every confidence that upon his release, he will continue to guide others away from a life of crime and continue on his own path to redemption and success." They met while she was working on something called the Justice Project, and she was visiting prisons and talking to prisoners. His comment was, "She has the ability to believe in others when the conventional aspect of things would be to shun them." She had lobbied Trump last year to pardon Alice Marie Johnson, who was serving a life sentence without parole for a nonviolent drug offense. And that's really how they established a relationship with the Trump administration. trying to free individuals who have been sentenced to long prison terms for minor offenses. Now, the truth is, we often hear that prisons are full of innocent people. Sometimes, though, that is true. It can be challenging to discern between innocence and guilt. There's also the challenge of identifying those who truly change and are rehabilitated and providing them a second chance. And I sincerely pray that Mr. Stewart is one of those for whom the second chance makes a real difference. That's what the prisoner on the cross beside Jesus was asking for, a second chance. Not because he deserved it. He said, I deserve to be here. I committed that crime. But nevertheless, remember me. Dr. David Lowes, who was president of the seminary I attended years ago, says that to him, this passage is a passage that focuses on second chances, providing people an opportunity to change their life and live a different way. Jesus forgives those who crucify him, giving them a second chance. There's a thief who names his own sins and asks to be remembered for a second chance. And Jesus says, you will be with me today in paradise. But Luke, in this chapter and the chapter before, has all sorts of times when second chances happen. Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him, but told him he would have a second chance. After he's tried by both Pilate and Herod, and both determine that he's done nothing to die for, and yet give in to those who pressure them, they receive a second chance and they became friends, and they had been enemies before that. Later, the crowds who followed him, sometimes admiring him, sometimes jeering him, receive his words of consolation and warning and are given a second chance to see him as God's gift and God's source of hope. Later, the centurion who worked for the Romans as a soldier and participated in the crucifixion has a second chance because he declares Jesus innocent. And all the world will receive a second chance in the resurrection, the promise of new life. The key thing is that in Jesus' death and resurrection, we don't just have a second chance, but we're always given the opportunity for life, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Jesus' death, according to the rule and order and expectations of the world, is overturned. People die unjustly all the time. But in Jesus' resurrection, we are invited to see something ordinary, like death, as something also extraordinary. Unlike our death, it ushers in a new realm and order where death does not have the last word, and our mistakes and regrets don't define us. Seems to me that's the key to Christ the King Sunday, to realize that Jesus is not just one more king or ruler or president, but rather he is bringing in a new order to the world, an order that turns many things upside down, an order that sees people as worthy of second chances, not because they always make the right choice or decision the second time, because they don't, but nevertheless, giving them a second chance, an opportunity to, in some cases, undo the harm they did, and in others to make up for the harm they did. And most of us, I suspect, at least I know I do, have lots of things I wish I could have said differently or done differently or not said at times. And Jesus says, you have a second chance. Whatever was there in the past, whatever decisions you made, whatever steps you took, whatever mistakes, you have a second chance. You have a second chance. Beside Jesus, there were two thieves. One represented the world and those who judged and condemned Jesus. The others represented those who were open to a new world, a world of second chances, a world in which even someone hanging on a cross, humiliated, condemned, mocked by those around him, has a second chance. Because Jesus says, yes, I will remember you. I think one of my favorite little musical pieces in our hymnal is a simple piece from the Taizé that just says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That simple passage from the Bible, the one we all say and need to say, Jesus, remember me when I need a second chance. When I need a new chance, remember me. When I've made a mistake, remember me. The thing we try to teach our children so much. You make mistakes, you get up and keep going. Telling them, you have a second chance. And praying that they, as I pray this Mr. Stewart, will use their second chance to make a difference in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Profess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their needs. Loving God, thank you for sending Jesus as King to reign over us with justice and mercy, sacrificial death and resurrection life. Thank you for his glorious and gentle rule. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit, so we have faith to acclaim him as King and love him as Savior and brother. Lord, in your mercy. You were pleased to make the church into the body of which Christ Jesus is head. Make this congregation your treasured possession. Form us into the image of Jesus. Use us to draw others to his cross, to proclaim his love, and to help them adore Christ as King, Savior, and God. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the whole church on earth your Spirit, so through its words and deeds, many may be delivered from darkness, receive forgiveness and redemption, and enter into the kingdom. We pray especially for those of our brothers and sisters who face persecution for their faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our enemies, for criminals, evildoers, and hate mongers, and for those we find it hardest to forgive. Let the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," be on our lips, even though it is hard. Let Christ subdue every sinful heart to his will, so that he might truly be all in all. Lord, in your mercy. Say to all earthly rulers, "Be still and know that I alone am God." Train their unruly and disobedient wills to your commands. Be the strong bulwark and mighty fortress to the poor and weak, the innocent and righteous. Cause peace, justice, health, and mercy to be established in every land. Teach every heart to acclaim Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, in your mercy. Make wars to cease in all the world. Hasten the day of true peace, when we need not lift prayers for those in the military or first responders. But until that day, equip them with integrity, competence, and courage. Preserve them in safety and heal them when they falter. Lord, in your mercy. Exalt yourself, O Lord. Be the refuge and strength of all who are afflicted by danger, disease, disaster, or despair. This day we remember before you the Smith family, Burnett, Gary, the family of Betty Roberts, Bill, Joanne, Walter, Sheila, Aldine, the family of Lydia York, Walt, Scott, Teresa, Mandy Grody, Noah, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Judy, Robert, Joyce, the family of Becky Helms Acock, Gary, Garland, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Antonio, Terry and Michelle, Winfred and Jennifer and their children, the family of Jennifer Evans and children, Colton, Lynn, Kay, Jordan, Madison, the family of Ben Klein, the unemployed, and all who are looking for work. Be their very present help in time of trouble. Restore them to wholeness and make their hearts glad. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son promises paradise to any who, like the repentant thief, turns to him in faith. We entrust to you our beloved dead. Help us to comfort and encourage one another to trust and follow Jesus. Teach us to pray, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Grant that we shall be with him in paradise. Lord, in your mercy. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
So that the congregation is aware, we are blessing additional wine and wafers for the service next Sunday for your communion that day. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Oh, Lamb of God, you bear the sin of all. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Let us recite our mission statement. United people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve the Lord.